Thank you, Jane, for that beautiful prayer. We need God. Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome to worship. For all of those who are here in person and for those who are joining us online. And a special welcome if you're taking that great big leap of faith and walking into a place that you've never been before. We welcome you and we hope that you will be blessed in your time here. I'm Pastor Ann, and I serve alongside Pastor Andy, who isn't here today. He is up in North Georgia with his parents who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend. And they're renewing their vows with their son, Pastor Andy, being the one who leads them in celebrating those vows again. So we know that he's being blessed as he is gathering in God's presence there, and we are being blessed here. We are a community that believes and is committed to sharing in hope, living with purpose for the sake of others. It's story time. However, this is not your typical story time. Most of the time when you think about a story time, you go to the library and you kind of gather around with a librarian and they tell you a story. But this time we're gathering with Jesus and we're going to listen to his stories. Today's the beginning of our summer series, which is going to be Story Time with Jesus, the point of the parables. Jesus often used stories to convey a profound spiritual truth, and we call these stories parables. We often think of them as being simple stories, and on one level, that's exactly what they are. Jesus uses the common, the familiar things and situations to convey a truth about the kingdom of God. Now, a parable can sometimes be used as a comparison, an analogy, an elaboration, or an illustration. These stories are often somewhat elusive, though. They reveal some things, but yet there's something that seems to be concealed in the story. But they're meant to encourage the listeners to think beyond the obvious, to think beyond just the words they've heard. In other words, a parable is actually an invitation to each one of us to become an active participant in the communication that's taking place within the story. So I ask you to put on your thinking caps and come together every Sunday this summer for Story Time with Jesus so we can revisit the stories that he told. And we can delve deeper into the truth that he desires for each and every one of us to receive and to live out in our lives. Our scripture for today is the first parable in the book of Matthew, and it is the parable of the sower. So listen together as we read the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to Jesus and they asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear most gracious God, we open our hearts, we open our minds. Lord, speak to us today. Help us to hear clearly the message that you have for us as a congregation. Help us to hear clearly the message that you have for each of us individually. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, in order for us to understand more fully what's happening here, sometimes it's important for us to kind of look back a little bit and take into consideration what has just happened. So to put this into context, I looked back at the chapter before 13, chapter 12 of Matthew. And in that chapter, Jesus had just recently been confronted by the religious leaders of his time. And they had accused him of being under Satan's power when he healed a blind and mute demon-possessed man. Now, up until this time, Jesus had been teaching mainly in the synagogues, the Jewish synagogues, revealing himself to the nation of Israel. But with this interaction with the religious leaders of his day, it became clear to Jesus that these religious leaders were never going to accept him. They were rejecting him as the promised Messiah. So in the very first line, the first verse of today's scripture, we see Jesus taking a new direction. Jesus finds a new location to teach and a new audience to listen. He's sitting by the lake, and he's inviting all who are gathered there to hear the good news of the kingdom. His message is for anyone who has an open heart to hear from God. He's no longer focusing just on the nation of Israel. We also see Jesus taking a new way of teaching. He's beginning to use the parables. Jesus is inviting those who are listening to hear beyond the words that are spoken. In this particular parable, he's emphasizing how the message of salvation gets delivered and goes forth to the people. The story's simple. There are really three aspects of this story. There's a sower, there's a seed, and there's soil. Jesus doesn't tell us much about the sower except that he's a farmer. It may have been that as he sat in that boat, he looked across the hillside and maybe there was actually a farmer over there who was sowing his seed. And so he took that as an opportunity to talk about seed. The only thing we know is that he was a farmer. Now, it's easy for us to think about God as being the sower, but I think in actuality here, the sower could be anybody who is sharing the gospel with another person. Could be you, could be me, could be anybody. Now, not much is said about the seed except that it is the message of the kingdom, according to the Lord's interpretation of the parable in verse 19, where he says, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom. But what Jesus really focuses on in this parable is the soil. That is, those that are listening, those that hear. In verses 4 to 8, we're told, and I'm going to go back over those four verses, as the farmer was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns. They grew up and then were choked, and then they choked the plants. And then some other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. We see here that there are basically two kinds of people. Those who hear the gospel and receive the truth of God, and those who hear the gospel and receive it only partially or reject it altogether. In other words, there are two kinds of soil. There's a productive soil that yields a crop, or there are problem soils. Problem soils are found in the hearts of those who are wayward, who are weak, or who are worldly. Now, after Jesus talks about these different kinds of soils, he offers a challenge in the form of a statement in verse 9. Whoever has ears, let them hear. That's a challenge. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And it's at this point that the disciples ask Jesus why he's speaking to the people in parables. Jesus responds, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them. In other words, they've been going with Jesus. They've been with him for 3 years now. They've heard him teach, they've seen him preach, they've seen him heal, they've seen the miracles that he's done. They know the secret of the kingdom of God. They know the kingdom of God is at hand. But the other people that don't know, that haven't heard, that haven't been with Jesus, they don't know. And then Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds a little punitive. You know, it's like, okay, what? Yeah, it's going to be taken away if they don't have much. But what Jesus is really saying here is a fact of life. Use it or lose it. Simple. It's a fact of life. You know, if you have a gift, but you never use it, you're going to end up losing it from neglect. But at the same time, if you have a gift and you nurture it, it develops to even greater degrees. Jesus continues in this dialogue with his disciples by quoting the prophet Isaiah. And I love this quote from Isaiah. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus is pointing out here that the reason he speaks in parables is because the people of Israel were too blind and deaf to glimpse the truth in any other way. So he's going to use these common things that they understand, and he's going to try to help them to see through these parables that their hearts are hardened, that they can see another way. Their hearts were hardened due to their own prejudice, due to their own thinking. They thought they had it all figured out. They thought they had God all figured out. And Jesus couldn't possibly be the Messiah. Their hearts were hardened because of their own prejudices, their own selfishness, their wishful thinking, and sometimes even because of their laziness. Their hearts had become problem soil. Yet Jesus was reaching out by telling these simple stories that took common and everyday items and situations to try to get the gospel message across to them. How those who hear respond indicates the condition of their heart or the soil. As Jesus explains the parable to his disciples in verses 18 to 23, he focuses on that soil, which he describes in one of four ways. And as we take a deeper look at each of these soils, let's keep in mind that that soil represents the condition of our heart and mind. That first soil was that of the path. The path represents that hard soil where those who had traveled many times on the path had just packed it down so hard that no seed could penetrate it. In the parable, Jesus says that some seed fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. And in his explanation, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This path or hard soil represents a hearer who has a closed mind and a closed heart. This person simply has an unteachable spirit about them. Now, it could be that they're proud. It could be that they're afraid, or it could be that they just think they have it all figured out. This person might hear the gospel message, but think that faith is irrelevant to their life. They think they're getting along fine on their own. The second soil is that place of rocky places. The rocky places are where the soil was just a little bit of soil covering a rock base. The seeds sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. I'm getting tongue-tied. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because there was no root. Jesus explains that these are the hearers who might begin with enthusiasm, but they simply run out of gas when things get difficult. There's not enough soil for strong roots to develop, to reach down for the nutrients and the water that's supplied by God. They haven't developed the root system by looking into Scripture to hear what God has to say. This person has simply heard the message. The third soil is the thorny soil. It refers to that soil that's overrun with thorns and weeds. In this parable, the seed that fell among the thorns was choked out by the thorns. And Jesus' explanation is the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness, deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This hearer has so many things going on in their life that it becomes increasingly crowded with too much to do and not enough time to do it. Their priorities are with things of the world. This person's too busy to study. This person's too busy to pray. This person's too busy to spend time with God. And then the final soil that Jesus described is the good soil. He tells us in the parable that the seed that falls on the good soil produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the hearer that has an open mind and that's willing to learn. He's ready to listen, and he's not too busy or too proud to listen. This listener's willing to spend time opening both their mind and their heart to the things of God. They're willing to think things out. They're willing to realize that maybe they don't have all the answers. And then they're willing to put into action what they hear. This is the person who produces good fruit. They listen, they understand, and they obey. And because they do these things, the seed that is planted in their soul multiplies as they share their life, their heart, and their faith with those around them. So what about us? Where do we as listeners find ourselves today in this story? Which of the soils do you identify most with? I wonder if maybe there are times in our life and in our faith journey when the soil of our heart might even go through several of these different conditions. Maybe something painful happens, and we just harden our heart in order to survive the pain. We think that we have to be strong and we have to deal with things on our own. Maybe there's nobody else available to show us the love and compassion of God. So we think that we just have to do it on our own. Maybe when we first started our faith journey and heard about Jesus, we received that message with gladness, yet we didn't do anything more. We didn't seek to develop that relationship that God offers us through Jesus. And then when life became too difficult and when we turned back to our own devices to try to handle things rather than turning to God. Remember those last two verses, those last two lines of the Isaiah scripture, and it says, "For these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." It's when we turn to Jesus that he can help us to see things differently as he sees them. We can learn to hear things from his perspective, not just through our own thinking, but we can understand how God sees things, and we can understand in our hearts what's going on. And as we turn back to Jesus, he can heal us. We have to develop those strong roots. We have to nurture what we've heard. We have to turn and seek that relationship that God offers us. And then there may be other times in our journey when God will allow the soils of our hearts to become infested with thorns. There's simply too many things to do and not enough time to do them. The things of this world crowd in, and suddenly we don't feel as close to God as maybe we did at one time. Or maybe as much as we'd like to, we don't feel as close. If we pause and look around, we may realize that we've allowed the things of this world to invade our quiet time with God. Maybe we've neglected spending time listening to God's word in Bible study. Maybe our prayer life has become rushed because of all the things that are crowded in. Because our life in faith is about our relationship with God, it is critical, ladies and gentlemen, that we spend time with our God. When I realize that I've allowed the cares of the world to crowd in, I remember God's word in Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When you seek me with all of your heart. God tells us how to do it. We just have to be available to hear it, to see it and listen. Now, the good news is that God is always at work in our world. The condition of our heart is important in order for us to grow closer to God and to grow in the likeness of our Lord and Savior. We have to make ourselves available to Him. In what condition do you find your heart today? Like a seed that germinates and then eventually produces a crop if planted in good soil, our life of faith takes time to develop. The words Jesus used from the prophet Isaiah were actually words to encourage his disciples. Sometimes we don't see the harvest. Sometimes things don't happen as quickly as we'd like. Amen? Amen. But God is still at work behind the scenes, even if we don't see it. Now, what this means is that God can weave everything together to bring about ultimate truth as we trust Him, ultimate good as we trust Him. So everything in our life, everything we experience, our successes, our failures, and even those things that we don't understand, those things that are painful, they can eventually be used for good as we surrender them to Jesus and follow Him in our lives. There is purpose in our lives with God, and He can make all things new as we keep our hearts open to Him and allow Him to help us see things from His perspective. With God's help, all things can be made new. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear most gracious God, we just ask, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts the words that you would have us focus on from this parable about the soils. Lord, help us to see clearly what you would have us see. Help us to grow closer. Help us to be about your purposes in this world. You know, sometimes, Lord, we want things to change quickly. We want to see things differently. We want to have the world be different. But you work slowly through the lives of your people. And you're calling all of us to be a part of the change that we so desire to see in our world. So, Lord, continue your work in our lives. Continue to open our ears, to open our eyes, that we may be all that you called us to be. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.